Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Gospel, it means, remember, good news in the old Anglo-Saxon. But you wouldn't think that, especially, I don't think, of today's Holy Gospel. Good news, signs in the sun and in the stars, the roaring of the sea, the distress of nations, men withering away for fear and expectation. But the church considers this so cheery that she keeps it for Christmas. This line of today's Advent Sunday Gospel. And she sings it, as the choir just now sang it, for her first Vespers. First Vespers are sort of a church equivalent of the Christmas Eve party. That is to say, it gets things going for the celebration. And she sings it to a light and to a joyful melody. Levate capite vestra. Lift up your heads, your redemption is at hand. St. Gregory the Great says, heads mean hearts. Lift up your hearts to the joy of your heavenly home. These words refer to two things. Christ's first coming to redeem our souls, celebration at Christmas, which happened. You can see the benefit of that, I hope, in your own life. But also, it refers in a literal sense to what you and I must be looking for when we lift up our heads. What St. Robert Bellarmine, great Jesuit, Counter-Reformation, one of the patron saints of Cincinnati, what St. Robert Bellarmine called the rest of the redemption. That is to say, how redemption overflows from the soul into the body, and finally for all of creation at the last coming of Christ. The truth of the matter is that Christmas, and even more Calvary, were desperately needed to set the slaves free. All of mankind, if you want to see the real slavery museum, don't go downtown to visit that boondoggle built by your tax dollars, but look around in all of society and see all of the institution of a real slavery from which Christ set you free, or would if you would let him. We were all of us slaves under the Old Testament and the Jewish law. We were slaves to what? First, to God's anger. A father is offended by his son, and understandably so, he cuts off his inheritance. So too, Almighty God, because of man's sins, cuts off man's sonship. And we were left, as the phrase is, sinners in the hands of an angry God. We were slaves, but to whom? We were slaves because at the beginning, man freely subjected himself to Satan, to his slavery, and Almighty God allowed it to play out. He let the devil lead man from sin to sin until finally he hauled him down to hell. What a horrible state. And to think that man, by his own efforts, could not get free. The devil would not let go Why should he? And who could possibly help? The religion of the Old Testament, the Jewish religion, could not. Its only purpose was to prepare hearts, to look up longingly, and to wait for the Redeemer. And that is why today it serves no purpose, and it is only charitable for Christians to point that out to Jews. Man was a slave back then, and for so long he was a slave to sin. Sin. It is more than just a stain on the soul. It blinds man to God and turns him aside from the only person who makes everything come together in our lives. It makes us look and stare fixedly, longingly at everything but God. It makes us a slave who can never save up enough to earn his freedom. Now, what we rejoice about at Christmas is what Christ was born to do. To give us a threefold remedy for this slavery to Satan by sin. From God's anger first, he frees us. And how? Our Lord reaches into the pocket of his passion and he pays with the golden coin of obedience. He buys us back by obeying his Father unto death. That's what redemption means. From the Latin, it means he buys us back from death and from sin, original sin and actual sin. And now we don't have to live anymore down in the shacks, the slaves' quarters. We can move up to the big house. God invites us into his own family. Secondly, by so doing, see, parenthetically here, the power of obedience. And you, and there's quite a few of you, who would never, ever subject your will to another human being, God forbid, remember the power of obedience. It is our redemption, and by it our Lord beat the devil. He beat him back. He beat him under the power of his cross. The devil fears the cross, but he fears obedience and the humility behind obedience even more. And with all of this fear given back to the devil, there is no need for a Christian to fear anymore. And what about sin? The precious blood of our Savior wipes away our sin, merits for us grace, God's life for us, and lets us free ourselves. You must do your part. Good works are necessary for salvation. None of this of the heresy of Billy Graham and the great Protestant preachers throughout the world. No. Ours it is to perform good works. How? By the power of his precious blood, St. Peter assures us. And all of this he did so that you and I could lift up our heads and look up and rejoice. So that you and I could make it happen in our souls here and now, this Christmas, better late than never. Our redemption. How? Why, it is as simple and it is as sublime as one of the seven sacraments. Sincere sorrow for sin, and you tell them to the priest in the confessional. A longing for Jesus, the true bread, the food of your life in the Holy Eucharist. But make the best Christmas you may. If you're here, you probably already have the idea. That does not mean parties and presents, except his presence in the present sanctifying grace. Nor, as they say in the world, is Christmas about children or for the family. Christmas is primarily for us, the children of wrath, and for him, the only Son of God. And Christmas is about the family getting into God's family forever. Jesus truly is the reason for the season. And although he wants to share all of your joy in your home when Christmas comes, and you invite him to do so by the home enthronement of the Sacred Heart, there is more to it than that. Have the holiest Christmas you could in your heart and in your soul. But man, remember, what is man? Catechism. He is a creature composed of body and soul. Brother Ass, as St. Francis used to call his poor body. That is to say, the soul, she is redeemed. She is able to live now free from sin, a member of God's family, an heir to heaven, yes, but what about poor Brother Ass, the poor body? Not yet. Wait still. Not yet. Your time comes. In the meanwhile, there is still illness, and there is still pain, and there is still death to pass through. Everyone present in this church this morning must die. Somebody next to you probably is going to be hearing your own death rattle someday. Not a cheery thought I give you, but a good one sometimes. And by your death, you will pay a little bit for all of those passions you have indulged all of those years of your life. And temptations which we too often see as a kind of a delightful free sample of a sin we're going to commit, instead of what they should be for a Christian, a torture, St. Paul's thorn in the flesh, so that I do not the things that I would. It is an introductory offer to hell, temptation. So with St. Paul, I have to cry, who will deliver me from this body of flesh? I will, cries the little child, the holy child, Jesus, whose birth we prepare now to celebrate. I will, by the redemption, I will give you, which is now at hand. For when Jesus comes, and only then will this body of subjection and flesh be made obedient to the Spirit. And then, finally, death, illness, sin, oh, and also all of the hurts of the heart that are in there so deep you couldn't even really talk about them. They shall be no more, and you will be free. Odd, isn't it, that we never, never, ever desire it? Most Christians don't. They never did. There's nothing new here. But today, I fear that many a good Catholic, unconsciously, buys into the atheistic, materialistic, the Jewish lie that this life is everything and its corollary, that death is the ultimate evil. Sometimes even good people in the pro-life movement are deceived by it. And the medical industry capitalizes upon it. The popular opposition today to capital punishment is another good example of this mentality, whereas capital punishment is a sublimely practical solution to so many of society's problems. And last of all, there is for all of us, and even the best, that secret, gnawing fear of dying. It's our legacy from our first parents, Adam and Eve. They brought dying into the world with sin. We inherit it. I am sorry to tell you, but the end does draw near. Our salvation is nearer at hand than when we first believed. The end of the world, the signs seem to be multiplied these days. And the end of your world, that draws near. And if you love it, this world of yours, you will perish with it. Do some penance this Advent, won't you? All of you. And get to the sacrament of penance, by all means. And for the rest, when it comes, it's not here yet. We have a little better than 3 weeks of penance left. But when it comes, why then let us enjoy Christmas with our families and our children at home. But from time to time, even at the party, don't forget to look up. Because your redemption is at hand. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.